to pass penetrating young curvature, the solid matter, the amount of thousand myriad fathoms. One with my soul.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Recently I've done a couple talks on the Diamond Sutra. Today I'd like to talk a little more generally about what the spiritual issue is the Diamond Sutra is addressing. It's said that when Bodhidharma first arrived in South China, he was invited to meet with the emperor. And in that meeting, the emperor described some of the projects that he had undertaken to encourage the spread of Buddhism to help the monks and to help people find their way to the Buddhist teaching. He then asked Bodhidharma, "What merit have I made? How much merit have I made in doing these things?" Bodhidharma's answer is variously stated or expressed. One of the ways in which it's expressed is in the simple words, "There is no holiness." If you added a little something to that, you would have a very good expression of what the Diamond Sutra teaches and why it is such a profoundly important scripture. If you said, "There is no holiness and," the word "and" here is all important, so not an "or," it's an "and." "There is no holiness and it is always good to do that which is truly good to do." You have the teaching of the Diamond Sutra. Again and again in this scripture, you walk through a little journey of the spiritual life. First of all, everything is of the eternal. Secondly, any particular act, however beneficial it may be, is as impermanent as any other act. Any particular result, however important it may be, is as impermanent as any other result or consequence. Therefore, neither action no consequence can be held on to. And if one truly understands this, this is no self, the teaching of no self. There is no enduring self that owns good acts or bad acts, good consequences or bad consequences. Volition is the doer of karma, feeling is the reaper of karma. Only volition is a doer of karma. Only feeling is a reaper of karma. Therefore, all our actions and all their consequences are fundamentally unreal. And still, they are part of the life of Buddha. And still, it is good to do that which is good to do. Even more, it is wonderful to do that which is good, truly good to do. That which actually involves following our true nature. That which involves actually reharmonizing with our true nature. There is no holiness, and it is good to do that which is good to do. Another way to put it, as Dogen put it, when he spoke of charity, we make offerings though we ourselves receive nothing whatsoever in return, or seem to receive nothing in return. So, another way of expressing Bodhidharma's answer to the emperor, there is no holiness. And this is a peculiar thing. It's really saying the same thing if one really understands what he was saying. There is no holiness is the same as saying we have the capacity to live and to act with true generosity of spirit. If we do what we believe to be good acts while clinging to some benefit accrued to ourselves as a result of doing those acts, we receive what the sixth patriarch referred to as tainted merits. But whenever we just let go and give of ourselves in trusting everything we do and everything that we might receive as a result of the doing into the hands of the Eternal, not nurturing expectation, not clinging to benefits, real or imagined. Then whether we know it or not, we are being like the Eternal. Our actions are resembling the eternal. Because infinite love just loves and seeks nothing for itself. There is no self to receive anything, for that matter. This is a terribly important issue in religion. And it is it was a major issue for the great Zen masters in ancient times, as in fact it is a great issue for us today. As Reverend Master so often warned us, to truly follow our heart, to truly live the teachings of the Buddhas and ancestors, is to put ourselves at variance with the way of the world. And sometimes it puts us at variance with prevalent ways in which the world views virtue. It is incredibly naive and completely unsubstantiated in the history of religion to think that enlightened action always gets the applaud of the multitude. It's not an accident that great Master Dogen begins the rules of meditation with the lines, why are training and enlightenment differentiated since the truth is universal? Why study the means to attaining it since the supreme teaching is free? Here is the same issue as that being addressed by the Diamond Sutra. Why are training and enlightenment differentiated since everything is Buddha? Since everything is Buddha and we already possess Buddha nature, we are already of the Buddha nature. Why go to the effort of training ourselves? The answer is because we can live in a way that blinds us to the truth, even if we have the idea in our head, that we are one with the eternal, does not stop the law of karma from functioning. And if we hold such an idea in our head, while ignoring the true teaching of the precepts, we create mountains of pain and confusion. We train ourselves because I am not God, and our training works because there is nothing in me that is not of God. But before I can know there is nothing in me that is not of God, I first have to get into my head that I am not God, and that I am a human being who needs help. And then I must never forget that fact. If we forget that fact and get swollen-headed, and cling to the appearance of virtue. One day the bottom will drop out from under us. And we'll get a new and very vivid lesson in karmic consequence. To train ourselves in Buddhism truly is to act like a Buddha without thinking of oneself as being Buddha. To act from our heart, to act from our true spiritual center, to let it lead us, to let it show us the way, to follow it, to allow its love and its wisdom to shine through the little lens of our lives. Without thinking that we possess any of it, without building a selfish, good self, in the place where a selfish, not good self is believed to have stood. There is no separate self. There is nothing to hold on to. There is nothing to be coveted. And this nothing is the greatest nothing we could ever imagine. The immaculacy of no thingness, the immaculacy of no selfness, the immaculacy of no separateness ever from our true nature. There is no hell like the hell of the conviction, deep conviction, that we are separate from God. In training ourselves in the way of the Buddhas and ancestors, we have the opportunity to come to know through faith, through experience, through inner certainty, that no such separation ever existed or ever can exist. Then we have the responsibility that goes with that, which is to live in accordance with that understanding. The Diamond Sutra can read like philosophy in many of its little parts. It's not philosophy. It's addressing one of the most serious issues in religion, and one which is a stumbling block for many, many people. the eternal there is neither saint nor sinner. And I am not the eternal. And if I am not careful, I can be very easily influenced by worldly ideas of saint and sinner. My past karma can act upon me, and I can get confused about this matter very easily. Such confusion, if it persists, can have very tragic results in the life of sincere religious people. There is no holiness, and it is good to do today that which is good to do.